You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 352 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, June 20th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where there's links to every single episode. And of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. You got Locked On Fantasy, you got Locked On NBA. It's a great resource this time of year with the draft tomorrow and lots of rumors and stuff swirling around. If you want a local perspective on all the big stories throughout the NBA, check out the Locked On Podcast Network. And you can do that as well for the NFL and NBA, MLB shows too. Not a full slate of MLB shows just yet, but you can still, if there's a baseball team you want to hear about, including the Blue Jays, check out the corresponding Locked On show. There is a Blue Jays show up and running, so make sure you check it out if you're into that. On today's show, it's still nothing has happened. We'll update yesterday's podcast about nothing. Nothing has happened still, so we're going to continue on trudging through this week where the Raptors aren't really all that involved in anything that's going on with a bit of a throwback to the past, a little bit of an opportunity to get nice and sad and in our feelings a little bit. And joining me to go on this adventure with me is our friend Dharma Nayak. How's it going, man?
What's going on? Okay, how about you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm over the Raptors. I'm good. I'm ready for the draft. I'm hoping some weird crap happens. I'm happy that two or three really dumb teams are picking near the top and are probably going to do some dumb stuff, and that's always
intriguing. Let's go, Kings.
Oh, Kings, just don't disappoint. Please do something insane. Same with the Grizzlies. Like, the Grizzlies,
I mean, it's, like, I hate to mean, but that's really all you're there for now. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, please help us.
Yes. And so there was a time at which the Raptors were one of those dumb teams that perennially picked at the top of the draft. They were not very good for a long time, and that was compounded by the fact that they sucked ass at drafting for so long. So today's podcast, we are going to go back over the drafts from 2005 to 2014, the window of sad, dark despair for the Raptors for the most part. A couple seasons in there where things weren't all that bad, but for the most part, it sucked a lot. And we are going to dive into all of those years and redraft who we wish the Raptors had taken instead of the guy the Raptors eventually took in the first round. There are a couple rules here. We're going to try to keep it within, you know, if a guy's taken at 7, for example, you can't take someone who's taken, like, after 17th, because at that point, it's all just randomness. Extra points, we're not giving points, but extra points that don't matter will be given to picks that, you know, at the time were picks that we definitely wanted to see happen and still didn't happen. We were upset about it. You know, that kind of thing. We'll just go back over Raptors history and redraft who the Raptors should have taken during their dark spell of sadness from 2005 to 2014, a time that featured just, I guess, three playoff runs if you count the last one. I'm counting the Bruno draft because that obviously was a draft that didn't go perfectly well for the Raptors, so that one's in there, and then the two Sam Mitchell seasons as well are in there. But for the most part, these are some depressing-ass seasons with very bad drafts that the Raptors kind of duffed. So, Dharma, are you ready to go on this excursion back to a darker time?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with the 2005 NBA draft. A truly horrendous draft. It really is.
Yeah, no, this is a graveyard of, like, broken hearts and broken dreams. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is a, like, really depressing end of the fantasy draft in NBA Live 08. Guys that you just put on your team because they were there and had high potential because they were still pretty young in the league. But there are very few good players from this draft. Very few players still kicking around in the league. I guess Gerald Green is still alive. Jarrett Jack is too, I suppose. And at the top of the draft,
I'm really sure about that one, though.
Yeah, no, he was like,
he plays for the Knicks.
He was alive. Yeah, he was alive for the Knicks this year. I don't think there's a single player drafted between 10 and 21 who is still in the NBA aside from Gerald Green. There's like a bunch of North Carolina guys, all of whom pretty much disappointed except for the second overall pick, Marvin Williams, who ended up being, like, kind of okay, but even then, for a second overall pick, like, no great shakes. This, of course, is the draft where Darren Williams and Chris Paul were pretty much the only stars to come out of it. Andrew Bogut, I guess you could argue for a while, was pretty good, but this was a terrible draft. So the Raptors didn't really miss out on much when they took Charlie Villanueva 7th and then Joey Graham 16th. Dharma, let's start here. I think the rule for this one would be that you wish they had taken someone who is, I guess, before Joey Graham got taken, because that kind of, you know...
It kind of nullifies...
Yeah, exactly. So we'll go between picks 8 and 15. Is there someone in that range that you wish the Raptors had taken instead of Charlie Villanueva? Or did they make the right pick in this situation?
I mean, honestly, like, you could argue that they made the right pick, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I would have taken, like, what was it, like, 3 good years of... What was it, like, maybe, like, what, 5 good years of Andrew Bynum?
Yeah.
Over what we got from Charlie Villanueva, or even Channing Frye. But I had, like, Channing Frye as the first one I picked just because of the longevity that he's had.
Yeah. Channing Frye, I think, probably would be my pick as well, mostly just because maybe that keeps him off of the Cavs in the 2016 conference finals. You know, just like the butterfly effect of his career, maybe it's different. Maybe he's on the Cavs anyway, but if he's on the Raptors there, maybe that doesn't quite happen. Maybe the Raptors ruin him to the point where he's not in the league at this point. So.
Oh, he definitely would have been ruined with that.
Yeah.
With that roster.
So Channing Frye for sure. Not really anything else that you would even consider beyond Charlie V. I mean, Charlie V is definitely the second best player in this range, and probably like a top 8 or 9 player from this entire draft. I mean, I haven't really scrolled through the second round yet. I guess Monte Ellis is in there, CJ Miles, Marcin Gortat was very late. Like, there's some guys.
Amir Johnson.
Yeah, not a good draft though. So between Villanueva and Joey Graham at 16, you had Channing Frye go 8 to the Knicks, Ike Diogu to Golden State, Team Nigeria, I think still Team Nigeria legend, Andrew Bynum at 10, Fran Vasquez, who never played an NBA game at 11, Yaroslav Korolev.
Like Fred VanVleet and Grievous Vasquez.
Yeah. Oh my god. 12 was Yaroslav Korolev, who played 34 NBA games and averaged 1.1 points, 0.5 boards, and 0.54 assists. After that, Sean May, who I don't understand how that guy was ever supposed to be an NBA prospect because he was enormous. Rashad McCants, who had some weird stuff with UNC. This UNC team won the title, right? With Williams,
Ray Felton.
Yeah, no, they
won the title, yeah. Williams and McCants leading the way.
Right, right. Yeah, Ray Felton was 5th overall in this draft, too. Good God. And then...
Stacked team.
Yeah, and then former Raptor Antoine Wright at 15, and then Joey Graham at 16. So I think Charlie V was probably the correct pick. We'll go with Channing Frye as the redraft. After Joey Graham, though, this one's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, Danny Granger, Gerald Green.
Yeah, Danny Granger for sure is the answer, even though his knees gave out on him. He was so good for a long time and was the perfect, like, he was what you wish Joey Graham could be. Just like a really good second or third option to play the wing and hit threes and be competent and, like, have some star power a little bit. Like, he was fully realized Joey Graham.
Yeah, just a side note, like, when I did my picks and stuff like that, I kind of threw injuries out the window.
Right.
And just looked at, like, what their serviceable years were projected over, like, was like a regular NBA career if they cut short.
Right.
Like, they, like no, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a couple of guys I have up ahead. Like, I kind of just threw their injuries out the window and just, like, projected it long-term hypothetically.
Fair enough, yeah. I think I'm going to factor in the injuries a little bit as well, but even then, the injuries still, in some cases, like, we'll get to in the next year. I think even though the injuries existed, I would still take the injury-riddled end of the career over what the Raptors ended up getting, if that makes sense.
So, this is going to make so much more sense in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Danny Granger. I remember on draft night, I'd, like, never really heard of Danny Granger. But when everyone's like, oh, they should definitely take Danny Granger here, and then Joey Graham, who wasn't even at the draft, it was, like, 16th overall, and you're going someone who's not in the green room, that's the first red flag. And to draft him and for Granger to go the next pick, that really irked me, even though I had no prior knowledge of Danny Granger before that. And obviously, it worked out that the Raptors got boned there. Let's move on to... Sorry, go ahead.
Warwick. Oh, no, I'm just like, I said that last time, I read a name that I thought I recognized, Hakeem Warwick.
Yeah, Hakeem Warwick.
A name that has dredged him.
It's a dark draft. A lot of dunk contest people in that draft.
Yeah.
Nate Robinson. Gerald Green. Hakeem Warwick. What a bad draft. This is the draft that featured David Lee as, like, one of the better players. He's the 30th pick. And then before that, like, Jason Maxiel, Johan Petro, Luther Head, Francisco Garcia. This is a all-time horrendous draft. I think people sleep on how bad this draft is.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Yeah. And the Raptors somehow came out on the better end of that one. Not so much in 2006. Of course, the Raptors, for the only time in franchise history, had Andrea Bargnani go number one to them with the number one pick. This was not the correct pick, right?
No. I mean, I could try and defend it, but then I'd be lying to myself.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, I think there's probably three main contenders who ended up going top 10. And this was one of those weird drafts, like the Anthony Bennett draft almost, where there was like three or four guys, maybe five or six, who arguably could have gone number one.
Yeah.
And Bargnani, obviously, because of the Colangelo, Mauricio Gherardini regime, that was always going to be the pick for the Raptors. But who would you have preferred the Raptors take there?
Brandon Roy.
Yep. That's
not a question. Brandon Roy.
6 injury-riddled years of Brandon Roy would have been just so, so much better.
It would have been so much more fun.
Yeah. Pair him with Chris Bosh, like, that would have been an actual combination you could be excited about. That would be better, a better version of LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy. Like,
yeah, it would.
How did the Blazers end up with both Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge out of this?
I mean, like, he went to Chicago second overall, and then Brandon Roy went to Minnesota.
Yeah, but the Blazers, like, pulled deals for both of them.
Did they trade Tyrus Thomas out of this?
Yeah, they did. Him too? They did. Hold on, I'm pulling up Derek Roy. Brandon Roy's page here. So, yeah, he was, you know, just a straight-up trade. So he was traded for Randy Foy, who went where in this draft? One spot ahead of Brandon Roy? What a weird draft. Yeah. It went, no, okay, Randy Foy went 7, one behind Brandon Roy, and they were traded for each other, Boston and Minnesota, and then the Blazers traded for Brandon Roy? I don't know.
Who does Portland have in this draft?
This is such a weird draft. Why did it go this way? Yeah, he was...
I hope something like this happens tomorrow.
He was drafted by the Wolves, and then traded by the Wolves to the Blazers for Randy Foy, who I guess the Blazers... Okay, how did the Blazers get Randy Foy? This because the Celtics drafted Randy Foy. This is research I should have done beforehand, but I didn't really do much before this. God, Randy Foy, your page is long. So Randy Foy was drafted by the Celtics 7th overall and was traded by the Celtics with Dan Dicao and Rafe LaFrentz to the Blazers for Theo Ratliff, Sebastian Telfair, and a second-round pick.
Sebastian Telfair.
Hell yeah. And then... They decided to trade that 7th overall pick for number 6, Brandon Roy, straight up. And then I believe they traded Tyrus Thomas, the Blazers traded Tyrus Thomas for LaMarcus Aldridge. Super weird, but they did really well. That's back when Neil Olshey wasn't running the team, I'm assuming.
And when they weren't paying $90 million to Evan Turner.
Oh my god, yeah. So, yeah, Brandon Roy I think is the answer. His 6 years were... I mean, he was really good for a while there, man. And he's like one of the, like, people always ask the question, like, if you could have one player not be injured, you know, who would it be? I think Brandon Roy is probably my answer. He was really fun. He was excellent.
Yeah, for me, it's Roy and McGrady, 1A, 1B.
Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe you could throw Greg Oden in if you're a Blazers fan and are sad about that, too. Poor Blazers, man.
But you know what? Blazers fans deserve this draft after their draft debacles over the years.
Yeah, the Sam Bowie thing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they deserve this, I think.
Yeah, that's not unfair to say. Any other, like, who did you want the Raptors to take on draft night? Because Brandon Roy became the best player.
I remember watching this draft, and I, like, okay, at this time I was still, like, 12 years old. I think I was, like, what? I was, like, yeah, I was 12 at this time.
Yeah.
And I liked, and I wanted to take Patrick O'Brien because it sounded the most like Kobe Bryant. Hey, listen, man, that's my 12-year-old brain made it work.
Future Raptor, Patrick O'Brien.
I'm like, hey, his name is really similar to Kobe Bryant. Let's just take that guy. Kobe's good.
Yeah.
So this guy must be good.
Don't let 12-year-olds run basketball teams, I think is the moral of the story here, yeah. This is the draft where Kyle Lowry got drafted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was 24th. Super weird that him and Randy Foy were like an all-American backcourt for Villanova at one point.
Yeah, and then like they were bad again until like recently.
Yeah. And then, so... Yeah,
Paul Millsap went 47th in this draft. Oh my god!
Yeah, this is another strange draft. The mid-2000s, not the best for talent evaluation, I don't think. Maybe the end of the one and done threw people off. I don't know. But so with this one, yeah, who did you want? You wanted Patrick O'Brien. I think I wanted Rudy Gay, which oddly enough ended up happening at some point anyway.
Yeah, he was my second pick. Yeah, I had like I listed like two preferred picks that I wanted in case we had like clashing on like. Get the same one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had Rudy Gay as my second option.
Yeah. The Connecticut team was really good. I think they came close to winning a title that year, or...
No, they came close.
Or was that the year Denham Brown missed the shot at the end? That might have been the year Denham Brown missed the shot at the end. Shouts to Denham Brown.
Cedric Simmons. Oh my god, some of these names.
Yeah, I don't even know who Cedric Simmons is. But yeah, Rudy Gay, Hilton Armstrong, Josh Boone, and Marcus Williams all went in the top 23 from that UConn
team. Quincy Doobie.
Quincy, future Raptor Quincy Doobie. Lots of future Raptors in this draft.
And none of them are very good.
No, not at all.
Only one of them is like actually, oh, two, okay.
Yeah. Actually, Denham Brown is one of three players that got taken in this draft. He went 40th overall. One of three players to not have an actual page on Basketball Reference. So
wow,
that's good, right?
Wait, would he be the he wouldn't be the last pick for the Seattle Supersonics at the time. No,
he was a, yeah, no. He was a pick for Seattle though. It was one of the last ones.
Oh, this is 06. Sorry, yeah. I thought we were further ahead.
Yeah.
Wait, and Rondo was in this draft too.
Yeah, super weird draft. Millsap. You got PJ Tucker, who the Raptors also took. Future Raptor Steve Novak is in this draft. It's a bizarre one.
Yeah. All right, you want
to
move on?
Yeah, let's move on to something less sad. 2007, the Raptors didn't have a pick, so they didn't screw that up. Moving on.
2008, what did I do here? Oh, this is a good one.
2008, one. This is the year
I
that they...
I know what you did here.
Yeah, this is the year that they drafted Roy Hibbert, correct?
And then traded him for Jermaine O'Neal.
Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah. Honestly?
So are we just going to assume that they didn't trade him?
Yeah, we'll assume that.
Okay.
And maybe they didn't want Roy Hibbert because, I don't know, reasons they couldn't play him with Chris Bosh, whatever it was. And maybe they only made the pick for Indiana's purposes. But, like, honestly, Roy Hibbert would not have been a bad pick. Before Chris Bosh became a center, like Roy Hibbert would have been a nice guy to pair with him. He was like better Rasho Nesterovic.
We're talking about the old NBA, right? In 08, you're still looking at the traditional power forward, traditional center.
Yeah, he would have been like better Rasho.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Much better.
So I would have been okay with Roy Hibbert. And I was a Georgetown fan, right? So I like, oh, okay. I really liked that Georgetown team with him and Jeff Green somehow. And I held on to Jeff Green being good for a lot longer than I probably should have.
You know what? Kind of confession.
Yeah.
I'm still holding on. I have severe attachment issues with like athletic wings who never really made it. See 2012.
Can I interest you in Dante Green or any other players who were taken near the bottom of this draft?
Darrell Arthur 10 times out of 10.
That's the pick you would have made instead of Roy Hibbert?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Okay. Who would you have preferred?
Actually, I had my first overall pick was Courtney Lee.
That's me too. Same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he was a big star at Western Kentucky. That team made a tournament run. I think he might have hit a buzzer beater for them, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, he isn't, like, the most amazing player, but, like, at 17, you're not drafting for an all-star. You're drafting for, like, a rotation player at best.
Yeah, exactly. And he is still very much a good rotation player, albeit maybe slightly overpaid on a very bad Knicks team. But he's good. He's, like, he's the guy that every team that needs to make a trade is like, yeah, maybe we should get Courtney Lee. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's just the kind of guy that, like, he bounces around the league as a serviceable shooter.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fine for a 17th overall pick. But then I had Serge Ibaka as my second one.
Right, yeah. Ibaka went 24th to Seattle.
I was going to put him first, but then he actually came to the Raptors.
You didn't put JaVale McGee first? 18th, one spot after the Raptors
went? I was so close, but then I'm like, man, I can't do it.
No. JaVale without Andre Blatch and Nick Young would never have become JaVale either, so he needed that experience. He needed Javaris Crittenden as well, and Gilbert Arenas.
Javaris Crittenden shit.
He needed Gilbert Arenas pooping in shoes to become the JaVale we know today. So the Raptors would have ruined him in a different kind of way than he was ruined.
Actually a bunch of steals in the second round of this one.
Yeah, what do we got here?
Petkovic, Chalmers, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah. Joey Dorsey, future Raptor, I believe, with the enormous shoulders.
Yeah.
Did he play for the
Raptors? Sacramento drafted a guy named Patrick Ewing from Georgetown University.
Yeah, he was Patrick Ewing's kid.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Patrick Ewing Jr.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was like a guard. Yeah, he was a guard, I'm pretty sure. Which is strange. Lots of just like guys that we never heard of again, though, in the back of this draft. Lots of Eurostash guys.
There's a bunch of those.
And NBA champion Sasha Kahn.
Goran Dragic was 45th overall.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick. He worked out.
Yeah, there's like two borderline all-stars and one actual all-star in this draft.
DeAndre Jordan was a 2008 draft pick? That seems so long ago.
That seems forever ago.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? DeAndre's personality is just so young.
Yeah, he seems like he was drafted always 2 years ago.
2011, 2012.
Yeah, just always 2 years ago.
This draft for being so bad in like the middle rounds, actually had 7 All-Stars.
That's kind of wild. 2005 could never.
No.
So 2009, we move on. The Raptors, of course, had a first-round pick in this draft. They picked 9th overall. They took DeMar DeRozan, which is probably the correct pick.
There's no one here I'd rather have.
They made the right pick.
For once. It's inexplicable. Look how that turned out. All-NBA scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Who the Raptors should definitely think twice about trading. Masai, if you're listening to this.
I agree.
Again, I have attachment issues, so don't listen to me.
No, I agree. Attachment issues are fine. I'm with it. And everyone who's like really eager to trade him right now, you should maybe work on your soul a little bit and try to find some feeling.
Okay, but sidebar, if the Kings do something stupid, as we expect them to, and suddenly you have the Hawks at 3, who, again, are prone to do something, do you pull the trigger if Doncic is still on the board?
I mean, if it's like Memphis?
Yeah, if you're talking to Memphis.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, I'll eat Parsons' contract if we're 2 picks away from Doncic.
First of all, I respect the hell out of everyone who has talked this DeMar DeRozan trade that's definitely not happening, or probably even on the table into happening. Like, congrats to Raptors fans for that. It's certainly not happening.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. If that's there, I don't think Doncic is going to fall. It sounds like the Hawks might take him at 3, because that would be the smart thing to do. And the Hawks are, like, the least dumb team picking in the top 5, so I trust them to make the right decision here. If you could swindle the Kings, hell yeah, do that all day. I'm down for that. I'm not sure the Kings are going to do that, but who knows? It's the Kings. They might do some dumb stuff. Like, they, in this draft, picked Tyreke Evans. I guess that wasn't a bad pick at the time, but what a weird draft.
Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn.
Before Steph Curry, yep. Good job.
That's going to go down as an all-timer in NBA history.
It's like, it might be the best or the worst draft screw-up ever. It's insane. 2 picks.
Yeah, honestly, because you had 2 chances.
Yeah, and you took point guards with both picks. Like, if they were like, okay, we think Jordan Hill is going to be a good big, we want to take Jordan Hill, and then took Ricky Rubio, I'd be like, okay, I get it. You were trying to disperse the positions. But they took 2 point guards. One of which came from Syracuse. 3
point guards in the top 10, and they took a 2 that weren't good. Oh, my God.
It's amazing. The Raptors didn't screw up this draft. Taken later, I mean, if you wanted to avoid the wrath of Gerald Henderson, I guess you could have been happy with Gerald Henderson if that was the pick. Drew Holiday became pretty good.
Yeah.
He's probably the guy that if they didn't end up taking DeMar, he's the guy that I probably would have wanted.
Yeah, if DeMar had gone a little bit earlier.
Those were good UCLA teams, too. Really good UCLA teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is when West Coast basketball really started to take off.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially like the new wave of like West Coast basketball.
That UCLA team lost in the final, right? To like Memphis or something?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they lost to Derrick Rose in Memphis.
No, they lost to Tyreek Evans in Memphis, I'm pretty sure. Or did Derrick Rose win the title?
Didn't Derrick Rose win?
I don't know. Who cares? Derrick Rose, what are you talking about?
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, Roddy Bobois went late in this draft. Had he been fully realized, maybe he's the guy we're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah.
Other former Raptors taken in this draft, James Johnson, Damari Carroll, Wayne Ellington, who's pretty much C.J. Miles. who else we got here? Jody Meeks, who helped the Raptors out by getting suspended this year. That was cool.
Thanks, buddy.
Taylor Griffin was in this draft. Blake Griffin's brother. That was weird.
Did he ever pan out? How many games did he play?
Taylor Griffin played 8 NBA games for the Phoenix Suns.
Better than most.
Yeah, better than a lot. Patrick Beverley went in this draft as well. That's a good one.
But yeah. Patrick Beverley is your classic second round steal.
Yeah, that's a very good pick. No, the Raptors got it right, which is weird. I don't really know how to... Well, let's move on. I don't know how to segue. They got it right. Move to 2010. Hey, so we went a little bit long, and I've been trying to keep these a little bit shorter than they have been recently. So I'm going to break this apart into 2 episodes. So if you want to hear the second half of redrafting the Raptors drafts from 2005 to 2014, I'll find a snappier name for it, I promise. Please tune into the next episode. I'll just pick it up right from where we left off with the 2010 NBA draft. Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode number 353 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, June 21st. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean, and you can find the show at Locked On Raptors, where there are links to every single episode.